The Trump administration makes this argument that trans service members undermine unit cohesion. As a combat veteran, how do you respond to that?
When I was sitting in my helicopter and I was bleeding to death after I'd been shot down, and an American service member came, I didn't ask if they were trans, straight, or gay. All I care about is, are you willing to carry the load? Are you qualified to do your job? And will you be willing to lay down your life to defend this country and the Constitution of this great United States? And every single one of these people have said yes to that, something that our president can't say.
How does your own experience in the military inform how you approach this issue?
Well, when I first joined the military, you know, oftentimes I was the only woman in my unit or one of two. When I first started flying, they didn't let women fly combat missions. When early on when I was a cadet, I even had somebody tell me, oh, your uterus can't handle flying a helicopter from the vibrations. You know, these are the
Someone said that to you?
Yes. We know these are all just ways and bogus red herring arguments that comes up from folks who are basically trying to keep other people out.
We reached out to both the Department of Defense and Republican lawmakers who support the trans ban, but received no responses. According to the Pentagon, there are around 4,200 service members with a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, which is when a person's gender identity differs from the sex they were assigned at birth. That's 0.2% of the entire military. Since 2015, the Department of Defense has spent an average of $9,000 on gender-affirming care for each trans service member, a small fraction of the military health system's $61 billion annual budget.